everyone on Summer House is gay, like the girls specifically, just because like
I'd
Paige love... lesbian.
Back.
Cool. All right. So today on Dear Queer, we have Victoria Ennis. She is an educator working in equity, diversity, and inclusion at a hospital, host of the Miss Education podcast, where I am newly starting to learn things. Oh my goodness, go check her out. Victoria has been watching reality TV probably since before she can remember. And has never left and considers herself an expert on psychoanalysis of all the characters, as we all do, which is probably her favorite part and really the only credibility we need for today's episode.
Absolutely. Number one criteria.
Yeah. And then the second is, what are you watching? Also, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. I watch everything. It's probably easier to say that I don't watch, but what I do watch is Love is Blind. I don't know if we're, are we counting love on the spectrum? It's reality, but it's not like...
I watch it, I'm watching it.
It's not like
it.
Drama, though.
No, but love I mean, that's the beauty of it.
Traitors is one of my favorite shows of all time.
It also just collects all the shows, which is the best
all
part.
All of them together. Real Housewives, I watch Housewives of Beverly Hills. Yeah. I watch Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I would like to start Salt Lake City.
Please.
And also I want to start Rhode Island because the crossover with Bachelor World, because Ashley Iaconetti from Bachelor.
I was screaming at the TV last night because my wife and I watched it for the first episode last night. And she's like, who are these people? Because my wife was not a reality TV watcher before we met and has come to the dark side and almost surpassed me. But I'm like, do you even know?
Like, you have to know the lore of Ashley and Jared. She was like crying to him on the beach. He's like, I don't like you. And then she got a boyfriend.
Yes.
And then he's like, actually, I want you back.
Stop.
And then they got married like right away.
And they're still together.
Still together, two kids. Maybe it's been like 10 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we're in a safe space here.
Yeah.
I watched like the heterosexual ultimatum, which is a trash show. And then I've watched Queer Ultimatum.
Of course.
Yeah.
And then I've watched both Bachelorette and Bachelor just because like Bachelor Nation overall. Summer House. I think I've watched one episode of Southern Charm.
Okay.
But I wasn't into it. But I could go back.
Just to figure out Craig.
Just to be like, who's Craig? Why is he dating Paige? Why is Paige like him? They don't seem compatible at all.
Yeah.
And then I watched Vanderpump Rules, but I only watched it strictly due to Scandoval.
Yeah.
I was like, what's the lore? Who's Tom Sandoval? Everyone just says his name, so.
Okay, so we have a bona fide expert today.
Yeah.
I love this. I love, you know, meeting other people who take reality television seriously.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things that does get kind of brushed off. Often I'm talking to my students about reality TV. I do teach one pop culture class. And they're looking at me like they don't know what I'm talking about. And they haven't seen these shows. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, how have you not seen these shows?
That's like how you feel when your mom's talking about soap operas. And you're like, not my time. And they're like, what is The Bachelor? And
how can you not know?
It is a soap opera.
So given that, where do we even start? What's on people's minds right now?
I mean,
can we have a really sweet start?
Okay, yeah.
Can we talk about Love on the Spectrum?
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm excited.
I've never done just like that kind of both hands like this joy clap so much in my life. When you're just like, yay!
Yeah.
For just watching them, you're rooting for them. I feel like on any other show, like on Love is Blind, if they're like, my favorite movie is this too. And they're like,
cringe.
And exactly. And they're like, oh my God, it's meant to be. My eyes like roll all the way back in my head. But when they do that on Love on the Spectrum, I'm like, yes. The stars are aligned.
Yes.
I'm like flashing my little pom poms. Like,
so happy you found your person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like so earnest. We've talked about Love on the Spectrum, I think, on a previous episode once briefly, but it's just so earnest and so honest. And like, there's no games. It's no just games. Like everyone's cards are on the table.
It's so direct.
It's so refreshing.
And you kind of find out where you're going to be with them after the date's done. Like 30 seconds after it's, hey, I really like you. Let's go out again. Or I wasn't feeling it. You kind of look like my dad. Like,
that's
what she said. And then he was like, oh, okay, whatever. See you later. And that's it. And there's like less hard feelings because you're being honest right away. You're not dragging out people's time, wasting their time 3 weeks later. maybe we'll go on a date. Like, it was, nope, I don't feel the connection, but thank you so much.
Totally. And it's so clear in the sense too that you're like, oh, you guys just don't gel and that's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, it's nothing, it's not personal. It's just, you're not connecting and that's cool. Right. Yeah.
I also just kind of love the way they acknowledge that the film crew's there and like bring them into
Sean. It's Kian. Sorry, Kian.
Sorry, yeah, yeah. Sean. Yeah.
Sean. I love Logan. You can see how hard he's crushing.
Yes.
Like I think I have two episodes to go, but I don't mind any spoilers, obviously. But he's just like made Haley his girlfriend. Yeah. And like, how adorable was that? It's just pure joy.
Mm-hmm. It is pure joy. Yeah. And I love his relationship, Logan, with his sister, because they're twins. Yes. So I feel like they're kind of like connected telepathy, and she's like his safe space. Like, they're hugging for like 30 seconds and he's like, I'm not done yet. Yeah. He's just patting her on the back. And I was like, oh, this is so sweet. Like, just such a cute family.
Yeah. Amy, I feel like, is a bit of a queen this season. She's with red hair.
Yes.
Because LDS. She sang that song about having this fairy tale, but then basically being like, fuck it. I'm going to go out on my own and do what I want to do. I'm not waiting around in this tower for a prince to save me.
Yep.
And then she did end up meeting this guy, right? And it's one of those things too that me and my daughter were like, oh, I think I like this guy. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to hit it off. Like, and then he cracks a joke about TV and we're like, she wanted a funny guy who talks about TV, like literally on her checklist, you know? So like, we're rooting for them to be able to check these things off of the list that they're looking for.
I love it.
Yeah.
And she knew the last guy wasn't right. Like, he had an okay connection, but she's like, not for me. And then the next guy happens to be perfect. He does Jim Carrey impressions, like specific things she was looking for. And she's like, of course I didn't settle.
Yeah.
I found who I wanted.
I love that they're like teaching us that too. It's like the other dating shows could absolutely take a page from these icons.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like, don't settle. Name it. Just it's okay to not go along with something if you feel like the vibes are off. Like, they're just so honest.
Yeah. And Marco, one of our friends, replied to, I had put a thing out on Instagram asking for people like what they're watching, what they're loving, what they're hating. He turned me on to Ladies of London.
I haven't watched.
I've not watched that.
I've watched maybe two or three episodes and I am loving it. Marco is correct that I should be watching it.
Wow. And so is this a Housewives?
It's like a remake, I guess, like a new edition kind of it. It's really well done. The characters, the people are great so far. One woman, it's really funny. She doesn't last more than a few episodes. She's like, this show isn't for me. I can't do this. Because she basically gets called out for talking behind someone's back and then is just free, like kind of goes blank and just tries to deny it.
Yeah.
And they're like, you did it. You said it. And then she's like, I don't think I'm going to be on this show anymore.
I love that.
Yeah, it's great. And what's interesting about it is that with Beverly Hills, it's like all just wealth, right? We just see their wealth everywhere. But with London, it's class. So like literally one woman is living in a tiny little London flat, like working her way up. She gained nothing in her last divorce. It's clear she's even doing renos and she's like, £2,000 is my maximum budget for this. Like, but she has a title and that keeps her in the realm of like, of that upper echelon because she has a title. Yeah. That's like what she retained from her marriage and what keeps her still in this circle of friends who are far wealthier than she is, which I found really interesting to see.
Right. That's like the early days in New York. Like not all of the women were wealthy. And you got to like see their apartments and I was like, oh my gosh, these women would never be on the show now.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a comment from Marco for anyone who's thinking about getting into the London of it all. Basically that the reboot feels fresh, all new characters. The editing is unlike anything Bravo is doing currently. Watch out with any of their Housewives franchise. And there's a gay man as a central character. Which, full disclosure, that Marco was ready to hate. Yeah, I'm naming you Marco. But now I'm obsessed. Not only that, but arguably Brits are the Americans of Europe. So seeing them maintain the UK girls versus American girl vibe is so fun.
It's true, because they do have a couple American women on it, too. And so they talk about the differences. Which reminds me, though, have you watched Love is Blind Sweden?
No. I've watched UK.
Yeah.
And the US. I don't think I've seen another.
So the Sweden...
Subtitled.
Actually, no. They've dubbed it.
Oh my gosh.
Which is funny in its own right. Uh-huh. But there were just some really interesting differences between what you typically see on the American version versus Sweden. And the one that really stood out to me was that even once they're all coupled up, when they're on their vacations and they're all hanging out as a group, that they're not doing this split where like all the guys talk with the guys and all the women talk with the women. Mm. But often, like, a man who's in a relationship with someone will seek kind of advice and counsel from another woman paired up and be like, this is how it's going. I don't know what to do about this. There's no jealousy. There's no, you were talking to so-and-so, and there's no, like, it's just really kind of open in that sense, which
less competition.
Less competition.
Based? Yeah.
And seeing it really as like, yeah, exactly. Not as, well, I wanted him or whatever, or even just not seeing it as, yeah, competition, to be like, oh, of course you're okay to connect with this person on a human level and I shouldn't be, you know, mm-hmm. nervous about it. So that was really neat to see. It felt like a more kind of mature approach.
Yeah, that's different than the American one where they're trying to set up drama and they purposely put the couples, like this, did you watch this last season?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where they had Christine and Vic in Malibu, which is not in Cabo, or I think they were in Mexico.
Yeah.
And it's like they did that because they know they have no drama. No one else is looking at them. They had no other connections. So it's like, why would we put them there? Like, we don't have to pay for them to be there if they're not going to cause drama.
At the same time, though, they also need to have successful couplings so that they can like maintain the, you know, premise of the show, like real relationships, this does work, love could be blind, like.
Exactly. So they had to air them because they were this, maybe they weren't the only ones to get married, but
there were, I think there were
two or three.
I know Jordan and Amber.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
Honestly, once I'm done with the season,
I have a hard time
remembering their names once the season's
Emma
done.
And Mike, Ashley and scammer guy with no job.
Oh yeah, that
Alex.
He was just so fascinating to watch.
Oh my god, yes.
And
he
was just businessman, sales.
I was just waiting for him to have some self-reflection after watching himself and then going on.
Was
the
he the soccer player guy who referred everything to soccer?
Yes.
Yeah. Which was a red flag. And then also when he talked about the breakup after on the live after, or whatever you call it, the reunion, and he was just like, I felt I was like really professional there. And I was like, dude, your fiance just broke up with you. You don't need to be professional. Like, you need to be human. Like, he's such a robot, you know?
Yeah.
The American shows really, it is a game, and it's like, or it's for, you know, getting
publicity.
Yeah. Like, there's so much more, which is why I think, you know, like, the Swedish one and other versions end up being more wholesome and, like, raw.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Also, the Sweden one was really interesting because they were at least two couples who ended up getting married who, upon the reveal, one of them would be like, I don't know if I'm attracted. I don't know if this is they're not who I usually go for at all. But then they end up growing the attraction.
That's interesting.
Right? Because which you so rarely see.
Shows that love is not blind.
Yeah, right. And often I find myself even seeing couples interact after I'm like, oh, this is not going to work. I'm like, you had the connection in the pods, but like, you know, she's not into you. But then in this case, they really just gave it time. And then they ended up really bonding and becoming attracted even physically too.
Right.
Right?
That's fascinating.
I know.
So it is blind?
I guess.
In Sweden,
in
it
some
is.
Cases.
Only in Sweden.
In America, it's not.
Yeah.
Because I think even one of the cast members is now going to be on Perfect Match. Like one of the Love is Blind cast members who's still single at one of the guys. But that just shows they're like signing up to continue to be within the franchise of Netflix. They're not like there to find a wife.
There's one guy on Love is Sweden who is basically talking to a friend. So the woman he's engaged to goes out to get them dinner, and he's talking to a friend on the balcony, and he doesn't realize she's come home. And he's talking to the friend, and he literally says, I'd rather redo my military service than be with her. It's just so hard to be with her. And she's like, and then he's trying to show his friend the apartment. He's like, oh yeah, I'll show you the inside. And you see the moment when he pans over and sees her sitting at the table, and he's like, oh, I didn't know you were home yet. It's so great. Like, you couldn't have scripted
it. Oh my gosh, the producers must have just been like,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
This is so good.
Why don't you stand right here?
Oh, it was just brilliant. Like, you really couldn't have planned
that
it better.
So funny.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wait, what were some of the other shows you're watching?
Other than the Love is Blind franchise?
I need the Summer House gossip because I'm behind in the seasons. Okay. And I was telling Lauren, I don't mind
a spoiler.
I don't mind a spoiler. In fact, I love a spoiler because then when I'm watching through, I can see.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, and be like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. They said that. Meanwhile, they did this later.
Exactly, because you hear the spoiler and you're like, but how does that make sense from what's happening in season five? Yeah. It's not adding up.
I started trying to tell Elena something and they were like, save it for the podcast.
Yeah, I was like, no. I was like, la, 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 I don't want to hear it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So you don't know anything yet?
No, I don't.
What's your baseline?
I'm on season seven. I'm not even in the season. Okay. But when you told me that there was kind of a scandal thing, something came up on my thing and it said Scamanda. So then I know at least a man is involved, but that's all I know.
Okay.
How have you not seen this? Because
it's everywhere.
I'm avoiding it.
Everywhere.
I know. You know what? To be honest, I'm not really online that much these days. So it's I'm watching NASA. Okay.
Yeah. You are watching NASA.
I'm watching NASA.
I do know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your
NASA online.
Your Scamanda is the eclipse from
From the shuttle.
Eclipse. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so where to begin? The headline I heard before the season even aired is that Amanda and Kyle were separated.
Yes.
Okay. So their divorce is upcoming.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're separated, which was the first news.
Did they ever get the prenup in the end? Because there was a lot of talk about prenup, but I never know if they signed it.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
They probably didn't. Otherwise, maybe it would have been mentioned.
So. I didn't
hear
about
prenup. But this isn't even... That headline is like... It's
dropping. Buried
okay.
Way
it's
down.
Dropping.
Okay.
It's
way down. Just wait. Okay.
So basically, Kyle and Amanda are getting separated. So when you go into the season, you're thinking, oh, they're going to have turmoil. Like, this is probably coming
it's
up.
Gonna
they're
be
fighting.
Awkward.
They're fighting as per every season of the show.
Yes.
Like, there's so much drama. And then we have Sierra and West back in the house. Mm-hmm. They're in I wouldn't say a love triangle, because there's a few other girls in the house. There's new guys in the house. But now West is kind of re-entertaining Sierra.
Okay.
He's coming back to her. She's trying to let him back in because she's so hurt how he had cheated on her previously. And he was, I don't know, he had some headlines in the press about her saying he really doesn't want to date her or something.
He like aired their dirty laundry basically in like an article.
Press.
And like, yeah, when none of that needed to happen. And don't wrong Sierra because she will hold a grudge.
Yeah. No, real. Yeah. Real. And then she was trying to like flirt with him and she's trying to get back with him basically. There was also a moment where Jesse was trying to get with Sierra and then he said to Wes like, hey, what would happen if like I kiss Sierra?
And then it was straight to Wes, not talking to Sierra. So talking about her without her.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
But then it was weird because it was like that moment is when Wes suddenly became like romantic back to Sierra. Which he's like, oh, Sierra, remember we used to have something.
Right.
And she's like, oh my gosh. And everyone's like, would you consider Wes? And she's like, I'm not going to say no, but he has a lot to earn back with me and all of this stuff. So it looks like they're on the track to potentially date or something's going to happen with them. We're not really sure. But then there's a headline, or not even a headline. There's a shared Instagram post, which was extremely cringy, very vague. Mm-hmm. A shared Instagram post between Amanda and West saying, we are now in a situationship because we have such a strong connection. And we know that there's going to be rumors about us, so we'll just address it before you say it to us. Thank you. We like respect each other and all this sort of bullshit. And then
But also we Sierra. Don't know what's it's going to be like, or if it's any. It was like a nothing burger
situationship.
Yeah,
wow.
It wasn't. We're together. We are in love. We just found it was. We have a connection, and we're not even sure where it's going.
It's
but
like the softest of soft launches.
It's like we, but not we.
Yeah, yeah.
We
joint statement, but
us, but not together.
Very weird. Yeah. And then Sierra unfollowed both of them, and the cast seems maybe divided over what's happening.
And also, while this is going on too, so it's like you have this in real time coming out, but then the season of the show is airing. Yeah. And so you have people going back and like re-scrutinizing the episodes and being like, oh my gosh, is she being close? Also like in real time too, you know, Sierra used to be the only Black woman on the show. And now there's two other cast members and they're having some raw, honest conversations about what it was for Sierra to be dating this white guy West on the show and all these other layers that are coming into it too. And it was like, and that's kind of, and that's playing out on the show while this is happening now in real time.
It's coming off the back of the episode where they had such a good feel good moment about here are the racial tensions involved in dating you. Here's why I don't want to be played again by this, specifically by this white man. When I'm a black woman, people are like trolling me online about this. And then that comes out in the news like the next week after that conversation from the show. And it was like, oh, we've all learned nothing. And you're still going to play in her face, even though you've addressed this. I don't know. It was like the wildest. And it's also the fact that now we're giving Kyle legs to stand on. Kyle now has legs to stand on to be like, Amanda never likes me. And look at her with other guys. It's like, we didn't need Kyle to be on top. And this is where we are right now, where Kyle's like vindicated. People are apparently like buying Loverboy. They're like investing in him. And he's like, please don't say anything about Amanda. Like, he's like, trying to be the hero, which he actually... Biggest PR move for him. He can be the hero arc right now.
He's trying to say getting anything
to Amanda, please. She's going through a hard time. I'm like, that's your friend. That's her best friend's ex-boyfriend. You are not even divorced. Like, I just...
Also, isn't West his buddy? Like,
I don't know West yet.
See, it's interesting. West has kind of gone like up and down. And like at the beginning of this season, I was like, I think I like West again. He dresses like a lesbian.
He does.
He's calling out his bros. He's here for the girls.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I like him. And then now I'm just like,
so disappointing.
Dude.
It's so disappointing.
Yes. And then Sierra is put in the position again to just always be this like object of desire. And it's like, the guys are talking about her. Like, can I kiss her? It's like always about the aesthetic of this.
Yeah.
And never about the substance. This girl's a fucking nurse.
Like, she has like, all the boxes they could ever want.
Yes. But like, there's so much more to her.
Yeah. Like, could I kiss her? Could I hook up with her? Like, you're asking permission from another guy who's not dating her.
It's just weird. So disappointing.
Very disappointing.
Oh man. Wow. Yeah. I have so much to look forward to in the upcoming
seasons.
And Wes
is not a relationship guy. He said, oh, I don't want to be in anything. I'm not interested, which is why he had rejected Sierra in the past. Yeah. Now him and Amanda are releasing a joint statement.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I mean, I'm still in the era where Lindsay's kind of the villain.
Lindsay.
What a journey.
Lindsay is no longer the villain.
Yeah.
Lindsay's had an arc. Lindsay has an arc. Okay. But you know about her child.
Spoiler alert.
No. And it's okay. I'm at the stage where...
Do you know about her baby daddy?
I'm at the stage where Carl is thinking of proposing.
Oh my gosh.
I'm way back.
I don't even know. Okay.
So he's newly sober.
Yeah.
He's thinking of proposing. Everyone's like, whoa. Yeah, this is really fast.
Her and Carl have an
arc. Lindsay's like, I'm the most direct communicator. And then people are like, well, didn't Amanda apologize? And she's like, yes. Well, did you respond to her? No. But my feelings are really hurt. Well, did you tell her that? No. But I'm a really direct communicator. And like, so that's why she's kind of on my very much list.
I think Lindsay's just really figured out how to be a person on Bravo.
Yeah.
And like, she's figuring it out.
Yeah.
Like all I can hear from that era is like, how many sandwiches have you made for me? And it's like, we're not there anymore.
Yeah.
Luckily, we're not there anymore with her, but that's her like top arc, villain arc, but she's not there anymore.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. She's come a long way. Okay, I'm excited.
She's got a child. She's...
And is not with Carl.
And
no.
Nor the baby's daddy.
Okay.
No. She's like solo mom in the city.
Amazing.
Which I think we get to look forward to.
Yeah.
I forget the name of it. Is it just the city?
I actually don't know.
Yeah. So basically Bravo is doing a
spinoff
on Summer House, and it's basically just some of the familiar cast members, but just in the city, aka New York.
Okay, I love that for her, because right now when she's dating Carl, she's like, what do you want to do? If you don't go, I won't go. And she's kind of doing it's like slightly codependent vibe. So I like that she's like, whatever, mom on my own, figuring it out.
Yeah. We've come a long way from her, what was it, like 5-year plan?
July 2020, I'm going to get engaged. July 2021, I'm going to like get married. July 2022, I'm going to have a kid. It's like,
slow down.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. She's released the list.
Yeah. List
and
done.
We love her for it.
Okay, good. Okay. Because another person that I have on my mind from another show who is on my kind of can't really stand at the moment list.
Lay it on us.
is Dorit.
I strongly we can talk about dislike
so what is her mantra? I had to write it down. It's unfiltered. It's now this year it's unfiltered, unbothered, and finally unburdened. But I would like to add unbearable.
She's really making it hard this season because she's got the support of Bozeman and Rachel Zoe.
Yep.
And like Rachel Zoe is a cool girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but Dorit's trying to suck in the new people.
She's a cool girl.
Totally.
Yeah. She's not. And she's a cool girl.
No, and she's trying to gain the sympathies of the new people.
Yes.
Who
yes.
don't know that she spun them through all this crap previously.
Yes. Right.
And how kind of unhinged she is in the
moment.
But
she's actually has drama with Amanda, like the newest girl.
Right. Yes.
So it's like, I don't even know who she wants her allies to be.
Also, Amanda.
Amanda is so fascinating to me because I don't by any means love her, but I see, but it's such a fascinating like generational thing right now between Amanda and the rest of them. And she's like, I'm trying to stay regulated and engage in conversations and
she
ask questions.
As a therapist.
Yeah, and ask questions and stay calm. And Bose and other people are like, you gotta attack. No. And like, she's like, I don't think I have to attack. And they're like, you have to stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
They're encouraging this like real kind of confrontational vibe. And she just doesn't want to buy into it. So it's interesting to see this tension of they're like, bite. And she's like, I don't want to bite.
She's like, I just want to talk about the brands I'm wearing and this bag and how I pay for everything.
Yeah. But I feel bad for her in a way because, well, the moment that really hit home with how unbearable Dorit is at the moment is when Dorit was just so hellbent on confronting Amanda. And that was literally the day of Amanda's anniversary of losing her son.
Yeah, and she said.
And she said it. She's like, listen, I just can't do this right now. Like, this is the anniversary of losing my son. And Dorit went like, okay, we don't have to have the conversation. And then continued to have the conversation.
Followed her to the door to be like, and then are you going to address it with me next time? And she's like, I think I'm going to go because I'm grieving my son who's passed.
And then Dorit's like, well, you're the one who wanted to keep talking about it. And she's like, no, I didn't.
And she's like, I literally said not today. And she's like, well, if you were going to bring that up at all, you should have known it was the day that you're. And she was like, I didn't tell you because I'm not close to you yet. Like, I don't know you. And I'm like, that was fair.
It's just such a like bizarre. I just don't understand what's going on in Dorit's mind.
As fair as it is, though, there's just something about her that I'm like, even when it's, I'm like, yeah, your son's gone, that's bad. These like, you're not, the thing she is saying isn't wrong.
Who, Amanda or Dorit?
Amanda.
Oh, Amanda, okay, yeah.
But I just like, I don't know, I don't get her.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't get it either.
There's something I'm like, tell me about your MLM. Like,
no, literally. Like, what is it? Like, what's your business model? Because well, she's asking those questions. She's like, so do you make money from telling people?
She's like, because I sell things.
Yeah, she won't really give a straight answer. It's like she doesn't know what's actually the content.
Which is
of
weird.
Her.
Like, that's why I find her a bit like, eh, you're not my favorite.
No, same. But there's still, it's just interesting to see her plopped in this group. And so that's why it was nice for Sutton to be like, I get it. It's hard to be new here because everyone's expecting so much of you. They're like, divulge. But if you say too much, then you're like showing off or like, it's just, it feels
don't
like
talk behind someone's back. Exactly. That's literally the premise of the show.
Yeah.
Literally.
Say it to my face. But then I hate it that you said it to my face. Yeah. Like, it's just, there's no winning. And I think that's what I can, you know, you can see it in Amanda where she's just like, this is impossible. Yeah. This is literally an impossible line to walk to join this group.
Unless you're Kathy Hilton, you can kind of promise you will have drama and everyone will hate you at one point. Unless you're Kathy Hilton, then you do whatever you want.
Except that one time in Aspen, apparently, where she lost it.
Oh,
which, like,
true.
They don't really talk about.
Oh, and also, she made that footage disappear.
Yeah.
Like scrubbed off the internet. Yeah. No one knows about it. And they made Lisa Rinna look... Listen, Lisa Rinna, talk about traitor. Lisa Rinna probably knows more than the rest of them. She's telling people all the business and they're like, that didn't happen. That's not true. And she's like, okay, well, anyways, I don't have a reason to lie. Like, you all hate me anyway.
I'm out.
Yeah. I kind of believe whatever she did in Aspen, I believe it.
Oh, yeah. I believe it.
Yeah.
Did you love Traitors with Lisa Rinna?
I loved it. I don't know why I like her. I feel like she's so much drama. She like kind of has a ridiculous look.
Well,
like
she's very camp.
She's so like camp, and she's the same hairstyle from like 25 years.
No. She does what she says and owns it.
Yeah, I'm gonna own it. Like, that's her whole line. I'm gonna own it. Yeah. I don't know. I loved her. I loved that she was trying so hard to like be this like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna be a cool traitor. No one's gonna know. And she's like, she looks hungover. She's like her sunglasses on. And yeah. She's like, oh, hey, everyone. I'm just really tired for no reason. They're like, oh, because you're up being a traitor? Like, what do you mean you're tired?
You're so she just like baited
herself, literally.
Yeah, this, I mean, I love Traitors too. That was a great season. Yeah. I loved Rob.
I gotta say
it. I loved Rob.
I think he played a good game. But like, he obviously, my thing is, he got there because of pretty privilege. Like,
yes.
His eyes, it's like, oh my gosh, okay, now I know why you got to the top. But like, if you didn't look like how you looked, you would be gone.
There's a like, scene where Johnny's like, oh, Rob's so hot, I can't even look at him. Yes.
Literally. And Maura was blinded.
Absolutely.
She was like, no, it can't be Rob. And I'm like, no, it literally is Rob. And you have to just scrutinize everyone in the process. But like, I don't know. It worked out for him with his overalls, classic outfit on the final day, just to be like, look, I'm your farm boy.
Yeah.
And it, yeah.
Do we have any other hot takes about Traitors? I'm trying to remember everybody.
I didn't like Colton, which I also watched him from The Bachelor way back.
Yeah. I loved Ron and I felt so bad for Ron. Actually, the way Rob handled that actually made me like Rob more, because he was like, he didn't just didn't throw Ron under the bus. He was like, no, I don't think you're a traitor. Yep. I think you're a really sweet guy. We connected a bit playing chess and like, I don't want something bad to happen to you.
Which like was a move, right? Because it makes him look good, like a faithful, just to be like, no, I don't think so. And then when he's out, he's like, I told you guys he was a faithful. Right?
Yeah, it's true. But I just, like, he didn't have to be generous to Ron.
No, he
didn't.
Yeah. He could have dogpiled.
And I really related to Ron. I mean, I think Ron has come out now being like, I'm pretty sure I'm autistic.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And I could see that in the show because he's like, I'm observing. It's not easy for me to just like jump in. Yeah. When there's more people, I find it harder. Quiet. Yeah. But when there's less people, I can connect one-on-one. I really, really related to Ron. And I felt it was heartbreaking to see people pile on him for just like being himself.
Exactly.
When he's like, guys, I'm just doing what I'm doing.
Like, you can tell he gave up a little bit. He was like, okay, just vote me off.
Totally.
Whatever, I don't really care.
Yeah.
No.
I know.
He was really sweet.
I know.
Yeah, he was really sweet. Michael Rapaport.
I
with his pasta like this.
I mean, I gotta say, the editors are heroes.
We're gonna watch it because of him.
Yeah.
Because, like,
it just was
just
not...
platforming him is just like disgusting.
No. But the editors are heroes because they do stuff like that and just make him look as bad as they possibly can.
There's like juice dripping down his chin and you're like, ew, like, is this the guy who thinks he's like
insides match your outsides?
Yeah.
Literally. What did he say about himself? I'm the most good looking, most charismatic, something from New York.
Of course.
Was like, oh my gosh. Like, you're married? Like, I don't know.
It's shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really not the vibe.
Oh, do you want to read some more things that people have told us?
I can share with some of what our listeners are watching.
Yeah.
We've got right now Survivor, House of Villains, and Extracted. I don't even know what Extracted is.
I assume people are put into the wilderness.
Oh,
and then
maybe you have
to, you stay there as long as you can.
Well,
so you need to be extracted, I'm assuming.
Another one, Survivor, We Live for the Game, rooting for my guy, Christian, RIP, Mike White. So it's season 50 of Survivor, which is insane.
Wow.
I haven't watched it in like 15 years.
That's so fair. All the people that you probably grew up watching it are now back,
though,
for season 50.
They're back.
What else we got? We haven't talked about Taylor from
Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
Crossover Bachelorette.
Exactly.
RIP.
I need to know more about this. I've listened to some podcasts and gotten some background and listened to Nick Viles' podcast where he's been talking about it a little bit. I don't know everything.
I feel like the Summer House drama just totally
it took
eclipsed
over.
To bring some NASA into it for you.
Thank you.
Totally eclipsed the like Taylor Frankie season disappearing.
Yeah.
I'm just like into thin air.
Yeah. I think we're gonna get it eventually.
You think they're gonna just release it as like something on like Hulu or just like
It won't be the like ABC whatever, but I think they're gonna air it. The entire series of Mormon Wives was started and predicated on this one moment of domestic violence, which we had audio for, which there's legal filings around it. Like, nobody didn't know this didn't happen. We just now had a visual of it, which is like, I have my own opinions on that, but it's like, come on, just show it.
Yeah, right? I know.
So the interesting thing that Nick Vial was saying on his podcast. He had like a legal expert there, basically.
I think I talking about that.
Yeah, and he just can't get over the fact that he's like he knows Bachelor Nation well, and he's like, if you're a contestant on there, they ask you, are there any pictures that could come out? Are there any videos? Like, is there anything in your past that we have to be worried about? And not for drama, like not to mine, but to like protect you, because it's very ugly for people when you're in the public view. Sure. It can get really ugly. And he's like, they dig through things with a fine tooth comb. So he's like, how could she even really have been selected with this kind of knowledge of this history in the background?
And the file had been out there.
Yeah, file was out there. The cops had it.
Yeah.
They've been making money off of her trauma for
time.
5 seasons of Mormon Wives. Mm. ABC wanted a piece of the pie.
Yeah.
Like,
this is true.
This is the whole premise. And then we're shocked that it's like, and now they're being like, oh, well, we can't air that out of some moral high ground. That's bullshit.
Yeah, moral high ground of like specifically when women do something that men are always doing.
Yes.
We're like, actually, we're going to punish you. And we're going to take away your show. And we're going to maybe take you off. I don't know if she's still going to be on Secret Lives of Mormon Wives.
I don't know.
For season 6 or whatever they have coming. Or I don't even know what season we're on.
I think it's 5. This is season 5 now.
Yeah.
That's just
okay, then season 6. Because even in season 5 of Secret Lives, are you caught up to that?
No.
I've watched a few,
but you can
but
say anything.
You're fine.
Okay. Yeah. The last episode is her being like, I don't want to go on Bachelor. She had just slept with Dakota again.
Right. I did hear that.
And it was like a whole drama of her just being like, I don't want to go. Like, I want to see my life through here. She was talking to some guy from TikTok. Like, she met someone.
Oh, that musician?
Yeah, the musician, the guy with the guitar. Yeah. She was like dating him. And she was like, maybe I'll see this through. But it's like the same people, not the same, but the same casting, the production. They knew that when they were filming. And then they still were like, passing you off to Bachelor. And it's like, you just set her up for failure. Like, what was she going to do on The Bachelor with, like, Dakota's probably calling her. He's probably, you know what I mean? I just didn't understand.
Yeah.
They were watching her the whole time leading up.
That's where I can't get past. It's like, this isn't new information.
No.
Yeah.
Especially for those in the know.
So it just seems like a case of trying to exploit the scenario.
Yeah. Kind and of, then just getting.
And not and caring the, and that she'll suffer also from just the,
like,
backlash.
Our culture and how we believe women and like what we, where our threshold is of like, okay, we can hear about something, understand that these things happened, but having a visual kind of changes the game.
Yeah,
it's like you look at something like Epstein files and it's like, we're reading all these things, but like, imagine if there was videos.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And maybe there are, and that's absolutely horrific,
it's
but it
true.
Would change. I think it would change the political climate even more.
Right.
Yeah, it's next level, and it becomes more visceral with those with the actual videos. Yeah. That's we're in a dark place.
Sorry, right I'm so sorry.
No, but I mean, Secret Lives is also something that like I can't look away from because I find the show equally as entertaining as I find it kind of disturbing.
Mm.
Do you know Jen in last season, I think season 4, when she said she was pregnant and she started crying and she was like, I can't believe I'm pregnant. And it's like her and her husband were not really in a good place. Like they weren't really sleeping together, but she still ended up pregnant anyways. And she's like, I don't want a third child. I'm 24. And I was like,
oh my gosh.
Like literally fair. It's fair. You're so young. And her husband's like, well, great. Amazing, more kids. And I'm like, I actually feel really disturbed. Like, I feel very, like, they don't believe in birth control.
Yeah.
You know, her whole life was about uplifting him because he wanted to go to medical school.
Yeah.
Because of their lives now, like, she went on Dancing with the Stars. He ended up not doing medical school. So he actually, this season, was like, I feel like a house dad. Like, I have no life. And I'm like, get over yourself.
Yeah.
But, like, even that kind of situation where I'm like, ah, I don't like this. But I'm like, wait, I need to watch because I just need to know what's happening in their lives. Like, these are modern women who are living this Mormon lifestyle that doesn't benefit them, like, at all.
Well, and also we get to see them now as they, like, rise in fame and wealth and all of these things and that the, like, grip of the Mormonism is kind of slipping away, too. And it's evolving season to season.
Yeah.
Like, stuff that people would have thought was, like, taboo about having, like, coffee at your baby gender reveal whatever sip and see they're doing isn't like a big deal, and like people drink and like there's like so many more things happening now. It's it's wild. I'd love to get y'all's take on which shows are queer coded, since this is Dear Queer, before we leave.
Everyone on Summer House is gay, like the girls specifically, just because like
I'd
Paige
love...
lesbian,
and now is
Sierra,
this hopes we just want to bring her into the fold.
I think and I also listen to Giggly Squad,
yeah,
so I've listened to probably 80% of their episodes. Paige basically talks about like I could be a lesbian, but like da da da, and I'm just like, you don't like any men that you date. You think they're like kind of like immature. You don't connect with them. Like you're just not seeing eye to eye. Same thing with Sierra. It's like she's crying over these guys. She's trying so hard to make it work.
They're
it's
girls.
Not gonna
girls.
Work.
Yeah,
it's not Who gonna needs work some for girls. A reason. Yeah. Like you can't be crying over these guys. They don't get you. Like I feel like it's always a girl like who's comforting her, who she sees connections with, and I'm just like,
this is true.
Come on.
Also, when she got a cat, I was like
hello. I see you. That changed her life. When Paige got a cat, she was like, oh. She's like, I'm a crazy cat lady.
That's really cute.
Yeah. Like she's fully said that.
Also, when Hannah was on the show, I always thought she was just gonna come out.
Yeah.
I don't know Hannah yet.
So Hannah Berner, she's a comedian, she's on Giggly Squad, but she started this is going back probably to like season 3 maybe of Summer House. And she came on the show and she was just like this like tomboy tennis player and her energy with men was just like kind of a fuck boy, and I was like, I know this dyke. I see you.
Right?
That's so funny.
And then she ended up marrying this like age gap older comedian. And I was like, okay, whatever, fine.
What's their age gap? Like 15 years, maybe more?
I think somewhere around there.
Also, Sam on Summer House, it looks like a combination of JoJo Siwa and Miley Cyrus.
Oh my god.
She has the voice of Miley Cyrus. I forgot about Sam. But she looks like JoJo Siwa.
Yeah, right.
I follow that.
I feel like that's why we love watching like reality TV as queer people, because we always scout out who's like kind of in the closet. Kind of like we're like, we see you before you see yourself. And we'll tweet about it. We'll like make the noise. And they're like, and like Paige, even today's episode of Giggly Squad, she's like, I love the gay community. I want them to have everything. I want gay people to have all the brand deals. I'm like, do you mean yourself? Like what? What are you saying?
Get
like
I
just
check.
She just says it out of unprompted. There was no like conversation about it. So it's just things like that where I feel like we're watching it for like the love story, because we're like hopeless romantics.
We are, for sure.
We also love the gossip.
Yeah. Of course.
That, love the gossip.
That's how gay culture evolves and continues throughout time.
Yeah. It is funny to see too. And a lot of these shows like Summer House or Housewives, they're basically all kind of forced to be friends. And there's something so funny about that. Like if you're on the show, you're friends. And but we understand how small the community is too. So like we end up in rooms with people we don't always want to be in with too. And like, but that kind of forced relationship, and it's complicated, right? And we like watching other people struggle with it too.
And honorable mention to Kyle Richards, who said from season one, I'm not a lesbian. I'm not a lesbian. And like she said it again, unprompted. No one was coming at her, and she's like, oh my gosh, do you think I'm gay? Because I'm not.
That sounds like me in high school.
Right. And then look at her now. Like, look at her now. So I feel like all of them are just waiting for their moment to be queer.
I feel like it's also comforting to watch people with bad pickers. Because been there.
I love it. I think this is a perfect note to end
on. Thank you so much for being here. Obviously we need to do this again, because there's always going to be more reality TV.
Good.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me.
This has been another episode of Dear Queer. Just a reminder, we are not actually experts. Any advice given should actually come from our experts, who we will bring in from time to time. Music brought to you by Sean Patrick Brennan, produced by myself, Lauren Hogarth, and your host, as always, Elena Papiamis.